It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The Boy Scouts are teaming up with West Virginia University to bring outdoor adventure, science, and transformative life experiences to kids throughout the state.
Our kids need this. You know, the future needs this. You know, 18 years of teaching, I've never seen anything come close to touching this.
That story's coming up in just a few minutes. This is West Virginia Morning. Lawmakers have returned to Charleston for interim committee meetings as well as another special session. Dave Mistich reports.
Governor Jim Justice issued a proclamation Thursday calling on lawmakers to address three bills while they're in town for interim committee meetings. Included on the call is a bill that would reauthorize a tourism tax credit program that is set to end this year. Another measure would bring certain DUI expungement procedures into compliance with federal law. Lawmakers will also consider a spending bill related to the Roads to Prosperity program. During interim committee meetings, legislators will get an update on the state's sluggish budget, hear post-audit reports, and discuss the proposed policy on charter schools that is now under public comment. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
The combination of climbing medical costs and stagnant wages can make it hard for many working people struggling with chronic health problems. Statistics show medical bills contribute to more than 60% of personal bankruptcies in the country. Mary Meehan has the story of one woman who lost her home while fighting cancer. It's a story becoming all too common as medical bankruptcy threatens people's ability to keep a home.
Christy Reyes' house in Frankfort, Kentucky is rarely quiet. Her grandson, Jalen, squeals, running from room to room. The family is together now, but were apart as Reyes was diagnosed with cancer and struggled to pay for care and keep a job.
Even though I had medical, there was things that medical didn't cover that I had to pay out of pocket for.
She remembers the day she was diagnosed, January 3rd, 2012. She managed to work most of that year, but she cycled through a lot of jobs. She'd need time off for procedures, miss work because of side effects. Shortly before Christmas of that year, she'd run out of options and money. At first, she and three kids lived in the car, and soon she had to let her children live with other family and friends.
I don't care how much money you make. Money is never enough when you're sick like that.
She remembers after surgery to remove cancerous lymph nodes, trying hopelessly to recover in her car. The chemo drugs were damaging her organs, she says. Eventually, she was too sick for treatment to even continue.
My body felt like I couldn't handle anymore.
Reyes' experience is not unique. There are some 1,500 people in Kentucky, West Virginia, and Ohio who are homeless, and many more living on thin financial margins. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation says half of rural Americans say they could not afford to pay an unexpected bill of $1,000, and a third have had trouble paying medical bills.
We have a saying, housing is health care.
That's Jessica Suchik, Director of Homeless Services for the Health Center Health First Bluegrass. She says stable housing is essential to health.
And without that, it's like, you know, building a house on sand. We have to have that stability. You have to have that landing place. You have to have that safety and that security blanket of safe, stable, and affordable housing.
Health First has adopted a team approach, with each patient having a medical provider, a social worker, a case manager, and a psychiatrist. Suchik says it's made all the difference.
The magic that happens when you address not just the physical health issues, but also the things that are preventing them from getting those physical health issues addressed, is really, that's where it's at.
Dr. Steffi Woolhandler is co-founder of Physicians for a National Health Program. The group advocates for a single-payer system, such as the Medicaid for All proposals advanced by Democratic presidential candidates Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. She says such programs in other countries help people like Reyes avoid homelessness due to medical bills.
In fact, virtually every other developed country guarantees health care to everyone living there. This is true in Europe, it's true in Canada, and it's true in Australia. The United States is an outlier.
After 4 years without a home, most of that time living away from her kids, Reyes says she couldn't take it anymore. Her muscles atrophied from always sitting in the car. One day last fall, exhausted, she parked by the banks of the Kentucky River and prayed. She called the Salvation Army and was told to walk into the Frankfurt offices of the Housing and Homeless Coalition of Kentucky. 2 months later, she had a new home and a new peace of mind.
I was actually approved for a lifetime assistance. So that made it even better, because I know no matter the struggles of my health or the battles that I gotta fight with it, I'm always gonna have that support.
Holding her grandbaby in her lap with her teenage son playing video games in the next room, she's content. There is food in the pantry. There are 4 bedrooms filled with people she loves. A simple secondhand dining room table is now her favorite place to be. Looking back, she realizes she was in denial about just how sick she was, and she hopes other people will take some comfort in knowing things can change for the better.
Even on the days where you feel everything's hopeless and you feel that there is no upside to anything, like, you still find that that little bit of energy, that little bit of strength to get up and be like, okay, I'm not going to give in today. People just need to know that just because you're going through things, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be stuck there for a lifetime.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Mary Meehan in Frankfort, Kentucky.
The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Variable cloudiness today. There's a chance of light rain or freezing drizzle in the Potomac Highlands and Eastern Panhandle. Highs in the 40s. Mostly cloudy tonight. Still a chance of rain or freezing rain. Lows in the 30s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at JaegerAirport.com. Support is also provided by Dutch Miller Subaru in Charleston. Dutch Miller Automotive is proud to be dedicated to multiple community service initiatives and local charities. More about our team and the Subaru Love Promise at DutchMillerSubaru.com. On our most recent episode of Inside Appalachia, we head outside where more and more educators are finding time in nature with their students is essential to learning. Here in the Mountain State, the Boy Scouts of America are teaming up with West Virginia University to tackle an ambitious goal, getting all 6th graders in West Virginia learning outside. All of them. Glennis Board recently went down to the Scouts' high adventure property, the Summit Bechtel Reserve in Fayette County. She went to visit organizers, teachers, and students participating in the pilot program.
My name is Langston Lilly. I'm in 6th grade, and I go to Shady Spring Middle School. I have straight A's at the moment. My favorite subject happens to be science, which is why I signed up.
Langston is standing in a hard hat in front of a climbing wall built somewhere in the middle of a 10,000-acre reclaimed strip mine in southern West Virginia.
So far, it's been really fun. We've played many different games, such as strategizing games, where you have to find out a way for your whole team to go in under a giant, like, jump rope. Mm-hmm. And everyone not to get hit. And it took us quite a few tries, but we did end up succeeding.
Langston is here as part of an expanded pilot of an outdoor education program West Virginia University is shaping called Science Adventure School. She and her peers camped in cots inside large tents for several nights at the Summit Bechtel Reserve. For many students, even though they live in a rural community nearby, sleeping outside, spending time in a stream, or hiking is a novelty and a total break from reality. Sixth grader Dax Simpson is from Independence Middle School in Raleigh County.
I've walked a lot more than I have at home than anything else.
And how's that going, the walking?
Pretty good. I feel good, better about myself now than I ever had.
Walking sounds simple and easy, something we can do in our own backyards, but some educators say that taking a week in an outdoor setting like this can be life-changing for children.
Well, we're currently sitting in Glen Jean, West Virginia at the Summit Bechtel Reserve. More specifically, we're at the Piggott Headquarters Base Camp in Camp Delta.
Allie Jenny is in charge. She's the director of Science Adventure School. This fall, the program hosted 500 students and 40 teachers from middle schools in Nicholas, Raleigh, and Fayette counties. The Boy Scouts and WVU were able to raise $500,000 from private donors to pull it off. Jenny says the purpose of the project is to bring this type of experience to children across West Virginia. They eventually want to offer the program to most, if not all, sixth grade students in the state. Jenny explains the school was built on the back of established science. Researchers even came to assess community needs, specifically in this area.
The last thing I want to do is make it seem like, this is a backwards or any sort of sorry area, because it's not. The reality is these students and these teachers are absolutely incredible. They are creative and they do what they need to do with limited research sources. But what the research showed was there's some socioeconomic challenges here that really challenge students' ability to focus on school and to be successful all the way through high school graduation.
But Jenny believes her program can and is already making a difference.
What kind of phenophases do you think we're gonna see in the wetlands?
Frogs.
Yeah, what about the frogs?
The frogs will go into the dirt.
Yeah. We're going to see eggs. What else are we going to see? What are baby frogs?
The outdoor school incorporates a lot of earth science and sports science since they're enveloped in it. The idea is to make science fun, engaging, and accessible. And these experiences are fun. What sixth grader wouldn't want to get out of the classroom to go ziplining or explore a giant treehouse? But it's more than just fun. Kids work together to establish team values and are encouraged to talk about issues that matter to them. They learn things like cooperation and critical thinking, skills which are harder to get at in classrooms. But educational leaders say they're critical for society to progress and for children to thrive.
Do you honestly believe that a week out here for a sixth grader can have a measurable positive impact on their life?
I might have not believed it before I saw it with my own eyes. I might have not believed it before I heard it from the mouths of these people who know these students intimately. Hearing these teachers talk about what it looked like to go back to school after Science Adventure School, that is the moment, hearing those stories, that I knew for sure that this program, without a doubt, is making long-term impacts in ways that I don't know we'll ever be able to measure.
Jenny isn't alone in her convictions. One middle school teacher from Beckley Stratton Middle School, Angela Hook, is also convinced the program is providing something special for her and her students. She was involved in the initial pilot program last year, where 30 of her students got to come to the reserve. WVU researchers interviewed Hook about her experience in 2018. Here's some audio from that interview.
Our kids need this. The future needs this. 18 years of teaching, I've never seen anything come close to touching this. I'm amazed. And it is going to be really hard for me to go back in my classroom, I'll tell you that. And I just hope and pray that other kids in our great state get this opportunity. And other states, of course. But, since it's in our backyard, we should go first.
Teachers like Hook say the program enables them to get to know their students on a more human level. She says, outside the confines of four walls and 40-minute classes, she can build more meaningful relationships, reach kids more easily, and she says teaching is just way more fun.
Whoa, look at that spider.
Oh my gosh, that's huge.
That thing's huge.
Wait, where?
Look at it.
Oh my.
That's the biggest spider.
I'm riding down spiders.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Glen Jean, West Virginia.
Green, and it's just yellow, it's huge.
You can hear more stories about outdoor education on the most recent episode of Inside Appalachia. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glynis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.